WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always
ABC
streaming
News,
on the Civic Media
I'm Andy
app.
Field. Survival stories from Maui, a mother and daughter trying to escape the path of a wildfire, but the mom had trouble walking. So Benny Meineke carried the mom on his back to the ocean where they stayed for more than 8 hours as the fires burned.
So we're trying to hold on. Some people are floating away. I'm having to go grab them and put them back where we were. It was just a true nightmare.
An American Red Cross official calling the wildfire response a mass fatality. Los Angeles Police, the County Sheriff's Office, Burbank and Glendale Police creating a task force. They're trying to combat smash-and-grab flash mob robberies that have targeted retailers.
These are not victimless crimes, especially in the case where Angelenos are attacked through force or fear.
Mayor Karen Bass, ex-wife of Microsoft executive Jared Bridegain, has been indicted for first-degree murder. He was shot to death last year. The capital of Colombia rocked by a strong earthquake. This is ABC News. It's not just Hawaii coping with a series of wildfires.
Emergency teams doing what they can to try to get a grip on an out-of-control wildfire on the north side of the Spanish Canary island of Tenerife, which has seen some 6,400 acres destroyed so far. It's forced the evacuation of hundreds. Efforts as well are being employed to move livestock out of harm's way. In addition to the firefighters, members of the Spanish Army have been drafted in to help. The blaze is centered on a craggy mountainous area, which is challenging to combat. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission says more than a million dehumidifiers are under recall following reports of nearly two dozen fires. They're sold under the brands Kenmore, GE, Seoul US Air, Norpol, and Seabreeze. U.S. has imposed sanctions and visa restrictions on four Russian government operatives allegedly connected to the 2020 poisoning of Alexei Navalny. Andy Field, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A motorcyclist was seriously injured in a crash in Kewaunee County. The victim is a 67-year-old Kewaunee man whose motorcycle crashed into a Jeep Grand Cherokee. The incident happened Wednesday around 12 o'clock noon. Authorities are still investigating the cause of the crash. The motorcyclist was taken to the hospital, and his condition is unknown.
The Brown County Board of Supervisors approved a pay increase for 911 dispatchers. The vote in favor last night was no surprise, as the county is in desperate need of dispatchers. Almost a quarter of its budgeted positions for operators are unfilled. Starting pay for dispatchers will go up $3 from $22 to $25 an hour. The county is also struggling to retain current emergency staffers who believe they are overworked and underpaid. Brown County has lost many employees to surrounding counties where the pay can be up to $10 more an hour. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover, of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now here's your hosts, Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos.
Good evening, all. It is Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos with The Rational Revolution. Thank you for joining us. This is our third show here on Thursday on 97.9 The Talk of Green Bay and 98.3 Oshkosh Air Support. We are so stoked to be here with Civic Media. We really are. Mm-hmm. It is show number 3. We are trying to get better and better at this. Last week, we were excited that we had some people texting us, comments and some questions. We hope that that continues. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, get on it. Download that app. You can get it anywhere you get your normal apps, and you can message us as we're on live. And there's a big old computer screen in front of us, and Magic Todd over there is going to make sure we read them. And by the way, that first message, the first call in was not my dad. We talked about it. We laughed about it. Just to clarify, it was not my dad. Anyway, we are here. Emily, what do we get to talk about today?
Today, we are talking about a hot issue, I guess, and that's diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm. Yes.
The big DEI.
Mm-hmm. It's been in the news over and over across the country, especially in places like Florida and Texas and here in Wisconsin as well. So we thought it was a relevant and timely topic and really important to flesh out what it is, the goal of DEI programs and staffing would bring about, and what it isn't as well.
Yeah, and I think everything we do on the show, what we try to do is look at a topic that is, you know, has some heat around it in one way or another. And we try and look at it and try and break it down so that people can understand how it does or doesn't relate to them.
Yep.
I think oftentimes you get the topic of DEI and a whole bunch of people just tune out or they think it's something that it's not. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to bring in a guest today who really is an expert in this topic. And I really enjoy the way that she breaks down how it works, why it works, and helps us understand how we could put ourselves in those shoes.
Yeah.
So it really is another rational revolution concept. Whether you think it affects you or not, it does.
It does. It does. And it affects the people we care about in our communities. And that's why we all need to care.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Anything exciting happened to you this week?
Oh my God. We are like in middle August. And as mom, like we are switching from summer scheduling to fall scheduling. And I mean, you're lucky I'm here.
Is that
I think
here?
I have the same shoes on, but I'm not sure if they're like mismatched. But dear, my goodness, I missed a meeting that I called for yesterday. So if you're listening, I'm so sorry I didn't show up to the meeting that I planned. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at. I just don't know what is up, what is time.
Listen, to all of you super moms out there, from an old lady that I am, let me just give you a story of how you can win Mother of the Year.
Ooh. I need it.
There was a day back in the day. My little one was, I believe, 4, and our babysitter, her name was Barb, back in the day when you could pay a buck and a half an hour.
That's nice.
And I would take my little one to Barb's, and we would walk in with her little bag, Cass would hop up on the couch, I'd yell, Barb would say bye, and I'd go at work. So the same thing happened. It was about 11 o'clock. I walked in, the door was open, I yell, hey Barb, we're here, have a great day. And I told her the pickup time. Cassie jumps in, jumps up on the couch, turns on the TV. 4 hours later, the babysitter came home.
What?
There was no one at the house. Right. So I'm just saying, if you're having a bad mom day, I want you to stop and say, well, at least I'm not Elfheim. Right? You're welcome.
Thank you. Brought it back in this perspective for me. I appreciate it. I mean, everyone's fine. They survive.
Come on. Yes. I don't know how you do it with three. I had a hard time with, you know, one and a half.
I barely do it. Let's be honest here. But they're going to be back at school soon. So, you know, they're alive. Everyone's fine. It's good. I think
this is the time teachers are all pouting and moms are all between, you know, shaking off and their hair falling out. They're also having wine in the evening saying, it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end.
And I remember as a teacher too, I'd be like, oh, yay, summer. And you'd look at all the parents, and I didn't have any kids at the time, so I didn't understand. But now I get it.
Oh, you get it.
Yep,
you
I've seen both sides. So
all I can say is hang in there.
We're so close.
Hang in there.
I know.
All right, so let's talk a little DEI before we have our guest on here.
For sure.
You know, again, I think that many of us hear the words DEI and we automatically have a thought in our mind as to what that means.
Right.
And I think a lot of people immediately assume that that means LGBT. And what I'm looking forward to in this conversation is to help us realize that it is not. Mm-hmm. It is actually about everyone, every color, every shape, every size. Mm-hmm. It's about making people feel comfortable and having a community and a culture that is welcoming to them. And I think that that matters. Why? Again, when we look at it from the right, the left, the purple, our goal is to develop great families, great children, great future leaders, great future employees, mm-hmm. because we need to be able to keep our communities healthy and growing economically. How do you do that? How do you do that if you aren't making all people feel that they are part of the culture that we live in? And that's really the whole purpose.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it, like, too, is that there's a lot of us versus them kind of thing. And there are, like, the division that I think people on the right seem to be claiming, like, this creates more division. But in my mind, when we talk about DEI, which has its roots in the 1960s anti-discrimination movement with, like, the Equal Pay Act, parts of the Civil Rights Act, and the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, and it addressed labor issues, like, that was all where this was born, right? And so when we talk about divisiveness, it's important to recognize like where we came from. And there's so much pushback to that acknowledgement, as uncomfortable as those truths are. And so it's you've seen what has happened in Florida and Texas with DEI being completely upended, banned. They cannot practice it or fund it in public universities, with the SCOTUS ruling against affirmative action. So that's gone. And now in state legislatures outside of Florida and Texas, including in Wisconsin, they're saying this is the new thing. This is like, you know, what CRT was a minute ago and things like that. But it really, like, to get to the root of what DEI is and really understand that we're bringing everyone forward. We're trying to create communities and universities and learning spaces where people can, like, create, live, and thrive no matter where they come from.
Well, and I think for that, you know, from the red perspective, you know, I think that we look at it and say, what are we giving up, or why are we treating people special? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we all be looked at equally, in essence, no color, no size, no anything, and let's just go get at it? Mm-hmm. And I think that's very easy to say when you're in the majority, when everything you've grown up looking, every movie you've watched has been people that look like you. I saw something the other day, and I thought it was, you know, something you don't realize how minor. If I were a person of color, and I would have grown up in central Wisconsin as I did, if I would have fallen on my bike, which I did often, and scuffed my knee, I would have gotten a Band-Aid the same color as what I would have used now. Now, to me, that doesn't seem like that big, but it is kind of a big deal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We took it for granted that Band-Aids were the color of our skin.
Right.
right?
100%.
It seems like it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. It's about being made comfortable for who you are and accepted for it. And again, all of us who grew up perfectly normal without any thoughts of trying to be in any way exclusive or discriminatory, we were here.
Right.
We were raised in the, you know, in the mirror. We looked in the mirror and we saw ourselves everywhere.
And like unencumbered opportunity,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And we took it for granted. It isn't that we were given something. It wasn't that we didn't work hard. It's that we don't realize the small things that turn into big things over time. And having a culture of comfort. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to have a guest in the next segment, and I'm very, very excited. Libby Jacobs, I've known for a few years now. And the first time I heard her explain, and she, in fact, the story that she told, she was explaining her own father an issue of DEI. And the way that she broke it down and helped her father realize that it wasn't that he had something better that he should feel bad about. It's that he never had to work through some of the struggles that other people do. Mm-hmm. And it's not his fault he didn't have them, but there has to be recognition that others do struggle with issues, and how can we make it so that they feel more welcome and want to be here?
Right.
And just giving that little bit of empathy and understanding the basis of it allows us to move forward in the conversation. You know, again, the Band-Aid. It seems like a silly story, but it's not, because we took that for granted. Now,
right,
there are Band-Aids in every shade you can imagine. And how glorious is that?
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think it's very interesting, because it's twofold. One is the everyday lived experience, mm-hmm, of people of different cultures, whether it's race, religion, gender, or sexual identity, that has been marginalized and has been sometimes dismissed, or you're judged, whatever. But there's also that what is being attacked now in the political sphere is the actual, like, diversity, equity, and inclusion, like, I don't want to say industry, but the practice of it, right? Where we're training people on how to be more aware of their privilege, or we're training people about why we've marginalized or why we've missed out. There are untapped potential in different populations and things like that. And what they're doing now is seeming to be very targeted financially at just eradicating DEI. And I want to know, and honestly, if there's anyone listening tonight, feel free to call in 920-264-0606 or text us on the Civic Media app. But I'd like to know, what is it about being trained to understand inequity that exists? It's the way our country was set up. Like, what is the pushback? Because I'm coming and being honest about my own bias in this moment. It seems as though it would benefit all of us to have a greater and truthful understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's the hot button words that people can jump on. It's very easy to be against something we don't understand.
Yeah.
And again, the basis of our show is to try and help people realize this should not be a political issue. Mm-hmm. This shouldn't be an issue that red or blue sees as important. It's people.
Right.
They're just people. And how can we help our communities be stronger? How can we help our students be stronger and want to be with us because they want to be part of this culture?
Yeah.
And then stay in our communities and teach in our communities and do business in our communities. So again, for some, this may be a hot button, but I think for everyone, it should be a conversation that we can learn more from.
Exactly.
I'm very excited about Libby. Come on right after the break. Again, we are the Rational Revolution. Chris Alfheim, Emily Sheffos. We are on the talk of Green Bay 97.9 and 98.3 Oshkosh Air Support. Don't forget that Civic Media app. Download that. We will catch you at the end of the break.
It's all right if you don't. For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Helfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 52 tonight under clear skies, northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, high of 76. Mainly clear sky tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 60. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the mid-80s to the upper 80s. To recap, a low of 52 tonight, highs reach 76 tomorrow, lows level off around 60 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 68.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution with Chris Helfheim and Emily Sefos. Today on our Rational Revolution discussion, we are talking DEI. Mm-hmm. We are very excited to bring on our guest, Libby Jacobs. Libby, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes, we can. I'm going to give a little rundown of who you are, and then before I cue you up, I'm going to say a little something else, so hang in there. Libby is on the line with us. Libby Jacobs spent 10 years as a health strategist for local public health departments in Wisconsin, focusing on equitable public health policies. She now uses those skills in the sector of higher education, serving as the project manager of equity programming at Northeastern Wisconsin Technical College, and today happens to be her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. I love my Libby. Libby, you are on this show and I'm so excited to introduce the world to you. You are my expert. You are my go-to on all things DEI, and it is a privilege to have you on the line. If you can, give us, you know, just give us a minute and a half quickly on, number one, why it's important we have this conversation, and then I will start poking you with some questions.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much for having me. And it's just another day, but I was listening to Emily when we first tuned on about, you know, being a mom and just the transition of schedule. So I feel mm-hmm. that to my soul. But thank you for the wonderful introduction and for having me. As you currently just heard Chris introduce me, I serve as the equity project manager at Northeast Wisconsin Technical College in Green Bay. And I've been doing equity work in multiple sectors for about a decade now. In terms of why equity is important to me, it sounds really weird, but it's really just pretty much inherent to how I think about the world. And when I look at impacts, I think that to look at things through an equity lens and having now that language that I've learned through my profession to really be able to, you know, encompass all of that together is a new terminology. But as I was listening to you, it is controversial terminology, which, you know, is kind of crazy to me because, like you mentioned, Chris, once you really break it down, it really is a really positive asset-based framework, and it's not at all meant to be punitive or controversial. So I'm really excited to dive into it and talk about it more with you today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So let's start with the basics. Let's start with, tell us why. Tell us why DEI, you know, what's the core of it to you? I mean, what is it that we're trying to accomplish by asking all these corporations, asking our schools, asking everyone really that we know to involve? And there are people that are mad that it's there, and there are people that are sad that it's being taken away. So tell us why this whole DEI thing is necessary, in your opinion.
Oh, man, how much time do we have, Chris? That is a loaded question. I think the answer is really different based on what the end goal is, right? So I think when we look at things like our workforce, it's so important to look at how our demographics are changing, look at how our economy is changing, and how can we meet workforce demands and recognize people's identities. You don't wash all of your identities away when you hop into a workplace. I think just mostly at its core, there's really two ways that I look at equity and DEI work. It's either continuous improvement to stop further inequities and disparities from happening, or it's restorative. So there's really policy impacts and things that we can do as institutions, as systems, that really go either way. But just on its head, I think the biggest why, at least for me, simply is I feel like people wake up and they feel like they matter. Mm-hmm. And the identities that they hold matter. And I firmly believe that everybody matters and everybody's identities matter. And some people have identities that they hold that are barriers to success that others might not have. And as institutions, and, you know, this is my personal view, but I think as a society, it's less about, oh, we can't say this, now we can't do that. It's really not meant to be punitive. Like I said before, it's really meant to just make things an equitable opportunity for people to achieve success and happiness.
Libby, would you say that is great, by the way, but would you say that, I mean, I'm thinking of my, you know, family, and I guess a lot of us as Wisconsinites, like, we don't like to say the things that are uncomfortable. You know, like, we're Midwest nice in that regard. But is this, I mean, in my mind, that DEI programming and, you know, universities deciding to take this and spend money on it and incorporate it in their everyday activities is to avoid, like, not talking about the impact that our, you know, like, racism or institutions have had on people that are not the majority, and then, like, actively changing them so they are more welcoming and inclusive. Is that a fair assessment of what the programming would look like?
So, man, I'm feeling spicy today. So
I love it. You got one minute of spice. We're coming back on the other side.
Okay. My question and my pushback to that, and I completely agree with you, Midwest nice is mm-hmm. part of our culture. I think that every change that has ever been meaningful has been uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We have had identity-based services that we have put money towards for decades. Mm-hmm. Being a veteran is an identity. That is really important that we focus on that identity's needs. Having accessibility and disability services, like you had said in the introduction, Emily, this has been around for decades. Mm-hmm. And I think all of those might have had pieces of discomfort when you look at, you know, women's rights. When you look at any of these things historically, none of them have ever gotten to the progress where we're at today by comfort.
Definitely. Yeah. I totally hear that.
Yeah, I think everything is new and uncomfortable until it's old and we're used to it.
Yep.
I mean, that's the silliest statement ever, but it's true. So, we're heading into break. We're very excited about this conversation. Again, Libby is here with us talking DEI. This is Rational Radio, Talk of Green Bay 97.9, Civic Media App 98.3. We love that you're here with us. We do have a text. Don't be afraid to text and call. We'll see you on the flip side. Come on back.
From
from the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. 10 current and former Northern California police officers now facing charges as part of a corruption investigation.
The arrest warrants were served today across the Bay Area, as well as in Hawaii and Texas. More than 100 FBI personnel participated.
FBI Special Agent in Charge Robert Tripp saying the arrests were the result of a two-year investigation. Members of the Fulton County Grand Jury voting to indict former President Trump now facing threats after their personal information began circulating online. Just how intense were those wildfires on Maui? Lanny Williams says she was trying to escape a wildfire with her mother, but her mom could not walk that fast. She says a complete stranger saw them, carried her mom into the ocean for safety.
I just kept thinking to myself, like, this is a young, you know, healthy guy that he could have just left. He could have swam around to safety, but he didn't.
This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. One man is in custody after a stabbing in Appleton. Appleton police responded to a call around 11:30 last night at South Memorial Drive and 7th Street. They arrived to find an injured man who was taken to the hospital. Authorities say they believe the stabbing was targeted. They aren't sharing much at the moment as the investigation is ongoing, but did say an arrest was made. Anyone who may have witnessed the crime is being encouraged to contact the Appleton Police Department. Is your day lacking funnel cakes? The Brown County Fair kicked off yesterday in De Pere and was attended by hundreds of people. There's a variety of great food, animals, entertainment, and rides. There is also kids' entertainment, a rodeo, and tractors. Stop by and say hi to us at the Civic Media Truth Booth and tell us your Brown County story, and we might just use it on the air. The Brown County Fair runs through Sunday. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. You heard that right. Free internet. Call today before this deal ends. For Shawano and Ocano counties, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Revolution. It's rational, but that's the one you want. Chris Alfheim here, Rational Revolution with Emily Safos. We are talking diversity.
We are.
Equity. And inclusion.
Wow.
Exactly. We appreciate, we got some text coming in. We appreciate that you like the conversation. We're going to hit some of those on the last half, but we still have Libby here with us, the project manager of equity programming at Northeastern Wisconsin Technical College. Thank you, Libby, for hanging on through the break. The question we want to ask next is we want you to help us understand as the project manager at the tech. Tell us what that means. Who's involved? What type of services? Yeah. What are your goals? What does it look like? What are we trying to accomplish?
NWTC is part of the Wisconsin Technical College system. And as a project manager, I was hired to really look at institutionalizing and evaluating our goals. So we have a division that consists of a vice president of diversity, equity, inclusion, and then myself as a project manager, making sure there's alignment across the college. And I'm an evaluator and strategic planner by trade. So I'm a behind the scenes nerd, essentially. And then we also have a professional development position that is specifically focused on making sure both internally and then externally through our corporate training work that we can provide the supports needed for continuing education and learning around this really ever-changing, complicated topic.
So how does that, I want you to tell me from the student's perspective. So what does that mean?
What kind of services?
Yeah, what kind of services? So if I were a student that walked in and I were in need of this, what does it mean to me? What is the difference?
So I think how I'm gonna try to answer your question. And if I don't answer it, please feel free to let me know.
I know where you live.
I think one of the kind of strange misconceptions or myths about what DEI works or DEI work looks like at an institutional level is that it's very in your face and programmatic. And but really what our aim to do with it at NWTC is embed it within everything that we do, right? So it's not necessarily us being like one-off events. It's really us embedding it in our policies, how we hire, how we recruit, how we teach, how we assess learning, all of those things, making sure that we have just a backbone that looks at closing equity gaps and making sure that our practices, our institution really doesn't further marginalize or increase the equity gaps that we're seeing in our student outcomes.
So I think that's a great example. I think that the normal person, when you say DEI programming or, you know, whatever we're doing for DEI, I think in our minds, what we think that means is there are these massive things going on that are extra this and extra that, and, you know, focusing on a small amount of people, all of these crazy resources. And that's not really what's going on. What's going on seems to be that we are just trying to be aware that we are inclusive in the conversation into our normal programming on a consistent basis for the sake of everyone. Is that fair to say?
Correct. And the only other thing that I would just add and push back on of your statement is it's really not benefiting a small number of people. Diversity, equity, and inclusion work really benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. And if I could speak to that
Please,
that of interest?
Yes,
definitely.
Okay. So when we think of equity, the easiest way to think about the difference between equity and equality, in my mind, is equality is really looking at the input, right? Everybody getting the same. So I will use my partner as an example. My partner is 6'2". So if equality is both of us getting a pair of shoes, right? We have very different shoe sizes. I know you can't see me on the radio, but I'm 5 feet tall, barely. I'm just a little guy. So equality is the same input, giving everybody the same. So the kind of things that you'll hear is, I treat all my students the same. I treat all my constituents the same, you know. And when you think about it that way, if I were given a pair of shoes that were a size 13, I wouldn't be able to go very far because I would be just falling over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And equality looks at the opportunity to achieve the same outcome. It's not the input. It's achieving the same outcome.
That's equity, right?
That's equity. Okay. Apologies. So equality is the input, but equity is the real goal, right? Equity is the ability to make sure that everybody, regardless of their identity, has the ability to achieve the same outcome. When we look at how that works, you have to take into consideration identity. And I actively remember that conversation you and I had, Chris. Mm-hmm. We were on my back patio and I was explaining to her kind of what I did. And Chris just comes at everything with such a wonderful, curious mindset. And explaining to her, again, a dirty word, right? Privilege.
Oh, yes.
We hear that word. And it is really a hot button mm-hmm. for people. Mm-hmm. But the easiest way to explain privilege is things that you don't have to think about because you woke up as you today. And explaining that to other people, I really like to use the example of typical Wisconsin culture, right? So in that example of talking with my dad, I explained to him, if you want to take mom out for a new fish fry on Friday, a new place just opened, do you have to call ahead and see if they have a handicap ramp? Or can you just go because it's a privilege to be able-bodied and you don't have to think about that accessibility concern? Wow. That is an able-bodied privilege. If you want to celebrate your religious holiday, do you have to save up your PTO or ask off of work, find someone to cover your shift? Or is your religious holiday recognized by your government as a paid day off? If you want to go to the doctor, do you have to call ahead and get an interpreter or are worried about that? Or do you speak English as a first language? And I think when you really break it down like this, what equity work is, it's a really asset-based framework. We're looking at taking the wealth of a multicultural society and all of the strengths that students or people bring into the classroom and just illuminating those and making sure that we have accessible formats, making sure that we're using language that students can see themselves in. So I hope that that really also helps to frame up how we look at our equity work and how we implement that.
I love the conversation you just had. This, again, is our guest today is Libby Jacobs, and we are talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And again, why on Rational Radio? Well, because everybody, it does matter. And I think that if we look deeper at the conversation, and Libby is doing such a great job of helping us to understand that this is every day. And again, what is the goal? What is the goal of education? What is the goal of our communities? It's to create happy, long-standing, financially successful families that continue to be economically in our community and adding to. And the best way we can do that is to help everybody accomplish it. It's not that far-fetched.
And I think, Libby, this reminds me sort of when I was having a conversation with my dad back in 2020, when there was a lot of unrest after what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd. And I invited him into a training that I was participating in on policing, which is, you know, something that has been a very contentious topic. But one of the things we talked about was the privilege that he experienced as a white man, you know, getting pulled over and stuff like that. And what my takeaway from that, without getting into the policing portion, is that my father, who's in his 60s, was very honest and said, I've never thought about, you know, my safety when being pulled over, like those kind of things. And so when we're talking to our dads, when we're talking to our neighbors, when we're talking to whomever that might be, you know, up in arms about DEI, it's these kind of examples, right? It's these real world examples and coming at it from a place of, you know, rational thought, compassion, and not, there's no blame, like you said, there's no blame game here. Uh-uh. It's that we grew up in different realities with different lived experiences. And it's about, you know, making that progression that you mentioned earlier that your program is trying to do at the technical college. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's room.
And Emily, what that really makes me think about is I had a conversation that I was in with some of our new faculty, and my colleague said something that was just so wonderfully worded. I think another really interesting for me being in the work myth or misunderstanding about DEI in practice is that it's not the lack of personal accountability on the student's end, mm-hmm. right? It's not to say we're going to do all of these, you know, as Chris said before, extra things, and we're just going to allow X, Y, and Z on account of your identity. I really think it's just making sure that within our sphere of influence, are we looking at our institutional policies and our practices and our teaching and doing everything that we can in our sphere of influence to eliminate inequities.
Right.
And there's still personal accountability that comes into play. There's still all of these learning pieces. As an educational institution, we are simultaneously advocates, but we're also gatekeepers, right? If we're going to send you out into the world to be an HVAC specialist or a welder, all of the things that we do at the technical college, a teacher, a nurse, you still have to be competent in those skills. But it's how do we highlight all of the wealth you bring individually as a student, also making sure that our education is attainable, that you have access, that things are delivered in a way that you feel you can fully and wholly participate. So it's not the lack of accountability mm-hmm. that seems to be this big myth. We are gatekeepers of our students to make sure they are competent to go out and be successful in the workforce. But it's our institutional responsibility to make sure that we are not making that more difficult than it needs to be.
You know, sometimes I wonder if from an empathy standpoint, if we could just imagine ourselves being dropped into that situation. You know, we all have, most of us have traveled someplace. And every now and then we go someplace that doesn't automatically cater to our English language. And many people, when they get there, are just irritated. They're immediately irritated because it's hard. They are not speaking English. Mm-hmm. Really? I mean, and we have that attitude when we go to somebody else's country.
Right.
And we still expect them to cater to us to make it easier for us. I was just in Quebec City not that long ago, and of all the places we went in, what a beautiful, beautiful place. There was one retail shop, and the woman spoke French, and she was very irritated that we had not. And it was amazing to me how many times that woman's conversation came up. It's their country. I mean, and that's one time, and we were irritated. Imagine being in school. Imagine being, you know, in the situation where everything is uncomfortable to you, everything is different to you. Would we not want the opportunity to be successful? And a little bit of thought on the front end. Again, as Libby said, there's no major change. It's a matter of just putting little steps in there to allow us to accomplish that in order to be that positive member of the community that we're all trying to be. Is it that hard to accept that we want people to want to be here?
I agree. And I think, Libby, I mean, I appreciate you reinforcing like the gatekeeper role that the technical colleges play, that any institution of higher education plays in making sure that your students are well prepared to function and, you know, live in a society and feel valued in all that they do. So thank you.
Yeah, Libby, we're in our last minute here before we go into break, but I got to tell you, I was so excited to have you on this show. I hope we're actually getting texts talking about how much the people listening are enjoying you on the show, and hope we get to have you back. You are truly, truly a wonderful person to have this conversation with. You've been helping us out. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Libby.
Thank you so much, Libby.
Thank you.
This is Chris and Emily on The Rational Revolution. Come on back after the break. 97.9, The Talk of Green Bay. 98.3, Oshkosh Air Support. The Civic Media app. We're going to get to those texts when you come on back from the break.
Talk to you then. Down. Wow.
Whoa.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 52 tonight under clear skies, northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, high of 76. Mainly clear sky tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 60. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the mid-80s to the upper 80s. To recap, a low of 52 tonight, highs reach 76 tomorrow, lows level off around 60 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 68.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Rational Revolution. This is Emily Cephos with my friend Chris Alfheim. We are live this evening from WGBW 97.9 WISS Oshkosh Air Support, which is 98.3. And we're on the Civic Media app. Woo! All right, we're back. Tonight we're talking about DEI. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. We just had an incredible guest, Libby Jacobs, who was on with us. We're talking about DEI. It is a hot button issue right now. Robin Voss has called it, instead of diversity, equity, inclusion, division, exclusion, and indoctrination recently. And we kind of, in the last segment, went into the little and the big things that is DEI in its truth, right? Like we're not, this is not a big, scary thing that is taking away anything or blaming, playing any sort of blame game. It's about remembering that we are a culture that is made up of multitudes of humanity, and that we need to acknowledge and honor lived experiences so that we all feel safe, comfortable, and valued as humans.
Yeah, and I think that as we have these conversations, what is the harm? What is the negative consequence that your family is facing because DEI exists? And I think that's, this is where I would ask my friends on the right to just think it through a little bit. The fact that we are just trying to help individuals find success in our communities, how is that hurting?
I don't know.
Especially when we're all short on workforce. Everybody knows we're short on workforce. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So of all the things we could talk about, of all the things that we could debate on their merits, why is this one so loud?
I am perplexed, as you are. And I don't, I think that the takeaway from this is when we're thinking about honoring the religious beliefs of other people, and we're thinking about, you know, like really working in institutionalizing, I guess, a better understanding of the fact that we are more of a tossed salad in this country than a melting pot, which is what I remember learning when I was growing up, that we all assimilate and we all become Americans. But that's not the case. That we are not supposed to lose our culture and all of those values we hold dear. We're supposed to all be a part of this like beautiful tapestry that is our country,
right?
And be able, we can hold both truths in our hand. We can be a patriot, and we can also honor culture and that's different than our own.
And again, I think many of us do. I'm German and Polish. I like sauerkraut and pierogies. I mean, and I think that should be acceptable.
Right.
I mean, we like Bloody Marys and we like old fashions. Guess what? That's cultural. That's what we were brought up to like. So again, just have a little bit of empathy for somebody else who was brought up with their own set of standards. As I've seen T-shirts and posters, you know, the concept of it's not pie.
It's not.
You
it's
are not giving up part of your piece of the pie so that somebody else can have it. That's not how it works.
No, because I think the goal is that we're all trying to create communities that people feel safe,
right,
honored, and that they can live, play, and thrive in.
Yeah.
Right? And you do that by acknowledging who people are. You acknowledge that there are inequities. These things exist.
Well, that's the first step.
Human. Right.
That's the first step. Yeah. Acknowledge that they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's affecting you or not is a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge that it exists and then realize there's no harm to you in addressing it. In fact, there may be positives.
Yeah. And I think we should go back to, we got a text tonight from Jim from Appleton.
Hello, Jim.
Who is a bus driver. And he said that it helps to understand students' stories and different lived experiences because he is better able to connect with the students as they're riding the bus with him. These right. are simple, simple things, right?
Right?
And so I would say that as we're finishing up tonight, if you are finding yourself sitting in or feeling discomfort over this conversation or the idea of DEI, sit and ask yourself why.
Right.
Right? Really, really dive into what Libby was talking about and really think, is there a problem here?
Right.
Or is this something that maybe is being manufactured or maybe brought up in news clips and news bites and we're saying this is the big bad thing, but yeah. It's not.
And again, put it, if it was your son or daughter,
mm-hmm.
if it was your son or daughter who was trying to find success in a field, in school, in a job, in anything, would you want them to have the ability to find success and be right. made comfortable to do so?
I'm going to bring up one last thing because I think like painting that picture and having some sort of a visual is a good thing. That one of the things when it comes to equity, right? If you start at the same, let's say we have 10 kids on the same starting line. And then we say, okay, now take a step forward if your parents make over $100,000 a year. Okay, take two steps forward if you are considered white. Okay, you know, like there are different things and the people left at the back, how are they going to get to the finish line?
Yeah.
How are they going to win that race? They're not going to. So like really remembering that we don't all have the same, I keep saying this, lived experience, right? And
right.
we just need to understand that and take a moment, take a beat and think, okay, if it makes it easier for them to take a step off that start line and be even with me, that's the goal, right?
And again, not hurting yourselves.
Exactly.
I love Libby's explanation of that. The concept of because you don't have to think about it, that's what it is.
Right.
And that's the point. You're not giving anything away. We take for granted what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We're just making sure that everybody has that same opportunity.
Yeah. And we got to wrap up this topic, but I will say that I always like these calls to action. We have... the UW system actually had $32 million cut from it in the budget. That is largely allocated or focused on DEI offices and staff members. Let your representatives know that you don't agree with it if you found this conversation to be inspiring this evening. And I want to again thank Libby Jacobs for her wisdom and her work. We want to thank Rebecca and Phil.
Rebecca and Phil, just a little visual around us.
We'll take some pictures.
But the studio is fabulous. It was fabulous before, but Rebecca and Phil, and I think they're listening, they put up our sound panels. And they're not just sound panels. They're gorgeous.
They're
like artwork on the walls. And so thank you so much, one, for listening, and two, for working so hard on a weekend to get that done.
Yes, and I will also say, as we're wrapping up this evening, that we will be at the Brown County Fair all weekend. You were there today.
I was.
I'll be there tomorrow. Todd will be there for the rest of his life, it seems.
You should see the dance he's doing right now. Yes.
And we're going to be there with the Truth Booth.
Todd,
do you want to say anything about the Truth Booth? You've seen it firsthand.
It's really, really cool. It's an opportunity for folks coming through to kind of talk about their experience growing up in Northeast Wisconsin, what they enjoy about it, what's important to them, things that they would like to see better, changes they'd like to. It's just really kind of, you talked about a melting pot or a toss salad of people kind of thing. Mixed salad. It's wonderful to hear people talk about the pride they have in Northeast Wisconsin.
That's
and the
awesome.
Things that they enjoy. So it's a really good time.
Yeah, come
Absolutely.
Out and see us. We'd love to see you.
And next week
we're
going to talk the economy.
Yes.
just for fun.
We pick the most fun.
No, we do. Again, I mean, I love these conversations, but we're going to break it down. How yep. it affects you, why it might be seen differently. We are Emily Steffos and Chris Alfheim with The Rational Revolution. We're so thankful you join us here. We're just having to have some great conversations. Again, Civic Media, we love you guys for having us. Yes. Thank you, 97.9 The Talk of Green Bay, 98.3 Oshkosh Air Support. Download the app and participate next week. Thanks so much for being here.
The radio voice, Chris. I love it. I love it. Thanks all.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. What hijacked my world
at night? If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.